Blog Talk Radio.
Get his thoughts and views right away.
So, my topic is pretty much, nationhood, nation building. You know, pretty much for black folks, is it a fraud? Is it a con game? I feel that some individuals, just like they use almost anything, do that. But I can't go ahead and really allow that thing to go. I wish I had, the brother who was saying, I really had gotten him, gotten him on this show. Because what he was saying, somewhat made sense, but he can't go ahead and speak for everybody. And I wish you could have broke that down to apply to the people who are trying to do things. I mean, I can understand his point. I mean, up until now, we should have had something going and something done seriously. A lot of times I see individuals, they're like chickens with their heads cut off, you know, just running around in circles trying to figure out what's going on. And I felt that, hey, what I'm trying to go ahead and put out there with my foundation, which the website ain't quite ready yet, so it'll be up soon. Give me maybe another week or so, and that site will be up, and you can see some things on what I've already achieved and what I'm trying to accomplish. One of my biggest things that I like to put out there is, hey, we really need to go back to our roots, that farming and agriculture, you know. When a lot of our ancestors were taken as slaves, they didn't get the ones from within the city. Let's make that perfectly fucking clear, that they were not getting the people from the cities. They were getting the people from the outskirts, the people that were unprotected. Okay? So, you know, anyone can go ahead and check that and prove me wrong. But they were getting the ones on the outskirts, the people who were out there doing the farming. They were the prime targets. Prime for the work that they were putting in, but also because they were vulnerable. They were out there, you know, pretty much unprotected. And that was another thing that those guys saw. But, hey, look, no, they already farmers. We need some free labor. Hey, we can sell them. And that, looking at that slave trade, is one of a bigger reason why, hey, look, we need our own stuff. Because everything has happened between then and now. You can go ahead and see, hey, look, we have already made a few strides, but it seems like every time you get one step forward, you get yanked back about four or five steps. We keep getting pulled back and pulled back and pulled back. So again, that brother, what he was saying, and he'd only made that little comment, you know, nationhood, nation building is a fraud. He didn't say whether it had been from the beginning, or had he, you know, had it led to that, or what. But to put that statement out there, and I wish I had got clarity on it, and I'm gonna try to get him, because I'm gonna do this in a couple of parts. I think that should keep it like that, because we need people to go ahead and be accountable for some of the stupid shit they say. Now, that was stupid to me. It was some stupid shit to say. And especially when, if you're going to go ahead and say something like that, you got to also recognize that there is a problem. And sometimes I hear people go ahead and say, hey, oh, no, things are fine. You know, black people made strides. And I hear black people go ahead and say that, well, we've come a long way. Shit, you know, you come a long way. What are you, watching too much TV? I mean, that's some bullshit. We haven't come a long way. Like I said, for every step forward, we can yank back a few more blocks. And it's hard to get some people to go ahead and realize that. All right, this one brother's called in. Yeah, I'd like to talk to him. Brother Covina, man, you there? Say, brother, I think he's having some problems. Yeah, I'm going to leave your line open. Just jump on in when you get a chance. But the one thing, the reason I won't say the reason, but it had stopped me in my tracks because I went, it was a blog talk show. And myself and another brother were there listening. And I scout a lot of these shows. I've been around blog talk for a while, man. I've seen some good ones and some bad ones. I've seen a whole bunch of people here, man. And I've seen some people with some good ideas, but I just don't think they really had a solid plan to go ahead and keep it going. But I like a lot of the ideas I heard. I like to go ahead and I actually learned some stuff, which helped me put in place some things for my foundation. I'm not going to stop with that idea. With my past, it's also going to help, and I still can learn a whole lot of stuff, but I've already set the foundation, the groundwork. My foundation is basically to go ahead and get us more in tune with that farming and agriculture. And when I hear brothers to go ahead and say the nationhood, nation building is a fraud, con game, and I ask him, well, what's the alternative? That's what I wanted to ask him. Well, what do you propose? And you don't, I want to go ahead and hear what he has to go ahead and put in place to go ahead and deal with our situation.
Can you hear me now?
Does he even recognize it? Hey, brother, you there?
Okay, yeah, I had to connect my mic back up.
Man, you had me worried there, man. I thought they came and got you.
No, I'm good.
So, brother, tell everybody about yourself, man. What you been into?
Man, it's Covina Man out here in Los Angeles. I used to have the Blog Talk show. It used to come on Saturdays. Me and International Booby, which I can't seem to locate International Booby. I don't know. I haven't heard from that brother in a couple months. But we did the show about Black Brotherhood for Self-Determination. And we were talking about, pretty much nation building from the ground up. We were trying to do a situation where brothers was respecting everybody's religions and everything else, and just focus on the game plan of nation building and trying to understand what it is and what it isn't and how to accomplish it. So it was kind of a, brothers trying to piece it together from the information that we had. There's no magic formula. There's no easy answers. It was trying to work with it, from the ground up.
So, one thing, man, okay, what would you rather go ahead and see us start on? What would you go ahead and see? Because everything comes down to funding, how you put that money together. So
right.
What do you think one of the areas we should work on? Okay, let's see if we got a bunch of people that's on the same page mentally, okay? And I think you can go ahead and get out in the street and go ahead and recruit and get some other people on page, as long as they know you out there. But, the thing is pretty much our main problem is economics. So what areas do you think we should go ahead and be working on?
I think that's it. Trying to figure out a way to get the money coming in. You want to be in the black as far as having more income than deficit. I think that's almost like a minimum thing. You can have a lot of plans, but if it's not about money, then it's not really going to make much sense. So whatever plan it was or should be, it has to run a profit, not necessarily profiting towards any individual, but just the community in itself. And I think I would, whatever step it would be, it would have to follow that formula. It has to be self-sustaining economically.
So one thing I that's out here that's being said with us, whites got, they got some of them, a lot of them got systems where, hey, look, if they go ahead and they got their place or they place of business, they got something going on, they can leave it to their son and their daughter.
Right.
You tell me which one of us can go ahead and they work at UPS where you can go ahead and write an UPS and take over from your dad.
No, yeah, we don't
have nothing. My point.
No.
We don't have nothing in place to go ahead and leave back to our kids.
Correct.
And that's, I think that's a sad thing, and a lot of people not waking up to that. You know, hey, look, what am I gonna leave my kids? I was trying to tell a young man the other day who was making fun of this brother walking in a wheelchair. He was going across the street in a wheelchair, and I told the young brother, I said, you know what? Young brother, how you know that guy wasn't you a few years back? You know, so, you know, you need to go ahead and pay attention. And we got a lot of respect for our elders. That's something in itself. Go ahead and get out here and help our elders. So it's a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of areas we can go ahead and work on and deal with. I mean, Dr. Clark was saying stuff about, hey, make socks, make drawers, and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of simple things that we should be doing, and is for whatever reason, there's a roadblock on many different levels. You know, it's a roadblock for, like, somebody has an idea, you can, you know, make socks or toilet paper or anything simple, but whatever it is that keeps someone from going out and creating that product, one, two, people from consuming that product, it is another thing. Do people have the will to support black businesses to where black business could be a self-sustaining way of life?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big question. I don't know if they do, people do or not. I mean, some people say that they do, but I'm, you know, the results is yet to be shown.
You know, it's one of those things, and this is kind of like, you know, it's kind of screwed up, but I've had dogs, you know, growing up in the hood. We, you know, I couldn't go ahead and chase down no the bunny rabbit and all that other stuff. Me, if I found a rabbit, I was trying to, you know, my family, they would cook it. So we had dogs and stuff. We would go ahead and chase down dogs. And I found that the most loyal puppy I had, most loyal dog I had, was one I lured into the house by going ahead and grabbing some scraps from the refrigerator and bringing them in the house. Best dog I ever had. And I say that to say this. If you go ahead with black folks, they kind of like that puppy. If I feed you, you'll go ahead and be loyal. So a lot of black people are loyal to the ones that's feeding them. That's why a lot of them don't see that's a problem, or they won't go ahead. They don't want to get involved. They know they should try to get involved, but they don't want to get involved because they don't want to go ahead and bite the hand that feeds them. Do you see that?
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially with people in prominent positions. You know, if you have people in prominent positions, you know, like you said, in the UPS or whatever, it could. You know, if someone is working at UPS, they're not gonna go out and support, you know, FedEx or something.
Mm-hmm.
And so if people are working for the white man, you know, for good or bad, but you know, that's what people are doing, they're not going to go out and say, oh, let's do a, you know, independent black co-op.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They already got their needs met, at least they think that they do. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, for them to go out and say, well, I see 20 other people that don't have their needs met who's black, you know, they can just say, well, I'm getting my needs met, so why should I care about those 20 people? They must be doing something wrong. So I think that's where I think a lot of people, they see that the reason why other people aren't making it because they must be doing something wrong. And you know, I'm doing something right. This white man is, you know, is loving me, so I must be doing something right.
Oh, they ain't bothering me, so why should I say something?
Right.
No, it goes back to that thing. I mean, if you go ahead and look at any of the slave trades on how life was on plantation, I mean, there's just literally thousands of books and right works out there. But if you come across one, I came across a few where there was rape in front of the other slaves. All these were like, you know, control mechanisms.
Yeah.
I think that this is another, a lot of this right now, they don't have to go ahead and literally rape you out in front of them. I mean, buck breaking was the way, one thing the slave masters did. They would have, you know, either the slave master or somebody else go ahead and sodomize the unruly black slaves in front of the rest of the other plantation. So right now we got stuff where it's going on where that's kind of, they already know it can happen. A lot of blacks know it's going to happen, but they ain't going to get involved because they're afraid. And I see a lot of that all talk shit here in America. Too much talk. Too much all talk. While a lot of our people getting going and getting in. So when we talk about nationhood, nation building, they don't want to get involved. Oh, no, man, you going with that. When I was bringing this to, and one of my relatives said this to me. Said, hey, you're gone with that old black talk, man. I ain't messing with that. I ain't down with that. While he was on the phone talking to his white girlfriend.
Right.
Who eventually go ahead and sent him through the ringer. You know, that was a few years ago, man. I was like, wow, see that, man? And at that time, he also got kicked out of his job. Bunch of stuff messing with her, man. So, you know, and I'm not saying that can't happen, but, you know, dealing with some sisters, but it's a little bit more painful when you got somebody that happened like that way. But the nationhood and nation building thing, it needs to be talked about. When that brother was saying that, I was saying, hey, this brother is discrediting, you know, Marcus Garvey and what he was trying to put forth. And a lot of us, there's some people out here today that's really, they serious about it. They're real serious about it. It ain't no con, you know, fraud with whatever. I mean, you got people that's come to some of these meetings I've been going to that I know they're shady. I wouldn't trust these fuckers at all.
Right.
I wouldn't even mess with them. I just sat there and listened to them. They want to exchange numbers, man. As soon as I walk out that meeting, I get in the car, I'm like, oh, man, get rid of this shit here.
I understand that.
Yeah, if you don't see me putting that number in my phone right then, I don't want to mess with you. I just go ahead and write it down. I'm like, okay, yeah, I deal with you. Because we got some people that, man, is just out here, that's out here to really, they're out here for self.
And yeah, I think a lot.
Go ahead, brother.
Thanks, man. I was going to say, a lot of brothers have that experience too, man, where you come into a meeting and you know the speakers or the people running the thing, they're either there to, you know, get some money from the crowd, or they chase and tail. And it's something that, you know, but you know, international movies to talk about all the time. It was like a lot of people in this movement just to get that tail. And it's just one way of a Mac game. It's just a Afrocentric version of a Mac game.
Right. You know, hey, some more poverty pimps out here. What do you know? They out here. It's apparent. We can't go ahead and run away from that fact. You know, it's two men out here. I always say they all profiting off our pain.
Yeah.
But to go ahead and be on the inside and get what you're getting is messed up. And then I was at a... In September, I helped get Dr. Umar Johnson here in Chicago, and he just left here recently. And this was one of the times he came here because he was also here earlier last year. And one of the things he said, you know, you can't trust a whole lot of people in these meetings because of what we just discussed. And then the other part of that is that, you know, they're there. Some people are there going ahead and scouting for the police.
Yeah.
And some people are there scouting for the police. So, you know, what that brother was saying, about, you know, nationhood, nation building being kind of being a con game. It kind of rings true, but not for everybody. I just don't like when people paint a broad brush, like you done talked, you done been to every movement, every meeting, talk to everybody. I can't stand that. You go ahead and say a some, a few, or something like that. Speak for the ones that you came across. Don't speak for everybody, because it's some straight bullshit when you do.
Yes. I know another thing that Mr. International Booby used to talk about was, you know, he would say that there are some conversations you can't have on the air or around certain people, because you can't trust everybody, you know.
Right.
And, you know, we know that from history. You know, it's always been that COINTELPRO type thing. But a lot of meetings like that, you never know who's there. You really don't know everybody. And even in the civil rights movement, you know, there have been brothers that knew everybody and knew everybody's name and was in everybody's family. But it turns out later, oh, that person worked for the Fed. You find out, you know, 30 years later, oh, that person was working for the government.
Mm-hmm.
So you never really know, you know, who you're meeting with, and you got to watch what other people are saying, because, you know, government has been entrapping people, all kind of things, and there's, you know, one case you can get away with it because they had no intention of doing X, Y, and Z, but the government just led them on that way, and, you know, that's a lot of ways how they are able to ruin things that brothers is trying to put together, is they'll just send somebody in to, you know, undermine it. All of a sudden, you go in one direction, you think you're trying to, you know, get breakfast programs in the hood, and then next thing you know, somebody's buying some illegal firearms, and then everybody's busted.
Right.
You never
know.
Yeah.
Or go ahead and bring a little bit of cocaine in, and before you know it, they're kicking in the dough.
Yeah.
Go ahead and say, hey, look, you got this. They got illegal merchandise in here. Then they kicking in the door. Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it here, man. I mean, we walked outside the meeting before you know it's a bunch of cops and stuff. I'm like, what the fuck? So, the COINTELPRO thing is, I think, alive and well. They may call it, you know, may have some other, you know, other names for it, but it's alive and well. We can't go ahead and deny that.
Exactly.
But the thing about, like, again, this brother here talking about nationhood, nation building is a fraud. I just really wished I could have got a little bit more input on it, because, there are some strange things going on out here. But we cannot go ahead and discredit every movement and what people are doing. You know, there's some people out here putting in some serious work, trying to do some serious stuff.
Yeah.
And it's... I don't see nothing wrong with us going ahead. You know, if you want to go ahead, I really would like to go ahead and be in Africa. I've been to Africa, and I like over all the negative stuff I saw. I've seen a lot of good, and the thing is I saw is I didn't see a whole lot of I seen a lot of poverty. But I seen almost, it kind of looked like here in a sense, you know, so it wasn't too much I wasn't too much used to. But I seen a lot of individuals who will respect one another a little bit more, and especially with business. They know you done work hard putting your stuff together, and they're like, okay, well, hey, let's take care. Let's come on in. Let's shop with him. Let's do something with her. You don't see a whole lot of that, you know, support black businesses here. This is something else I want to confront people on when they go ahead and say nationhood is stupid and all this other stuff. Stay right here in America. If you want to stay in America, okay, fine. I got no problem with that. But you got to go ahead and realize you born black first. You weren't born in America. You just was born on this soil.
Right.
And that seems to go over a lot of people's heads. That, hey, look, hey, well, I'm born this, I'm born that. You were born to a family who had them beliefs or they had that ideology. But you still born black first, so you need to go ahead and deal with that. So which groups have you seen here recently who has a serious plan to go ahead and deal with nationhood, nation building? And how far are you with your plan and what you guys were talking about?
Well, I haven't really seen anybody that I would say is working on it completely that I've seen. I know there were some brothers doing a land project in South Carolina. I haven't been able to follow that completely. Maybe it was North Carolina, one of those Carolina State. I haven't been able to follow that completely and see how far they're going. But I know there's been some brothers, but, you know, the things that with me and International Booby was, you know, trying to work on, you know, when we stopped doing the show, we had decided that we needed to build like a prototype. We need to do it. We need to do whatever it is we're talking about. We need to do it first and then show people the example.
Right.
Because I think it's almost, it just becomes brothers talking about what if and we should do this and should do that until somebody actually, you know, builds it and then says, here's the model, check it out. It's just talk. So, you know, after a while, you can try to talk and try to recruit people into the ideas, but after a while, it's like, all right, let's work with who we got and let's get it together. So I think, you know, that's where we left off, and that's what I've been working on. I've just been working on, you know, getting my finances in order and you know, the things that we have been talking about, looking for the land and, you know, trying to set up some business and being self-sustained, you know, it's still on my plate, you know, at least I haven't stopped working on it. So it just, I can't put a date on when I'm going to be ready to display where I'm at, you know, but I'm still working on it.
Well, you can't stop working on it. It's a work in progress. You got to go ahead and keep sticking with it. You know, and it's you go, a lot of those silly cliches play. You know, come to mind here. Good things come to those who wait and all that other stuff. But it's got to go ahead. And you have to stick with it. You got to stay strong. This is one of these things they always saying. Hey, look, if you work hard in America, you can make it. So I'm working hard on getting this nationhood, this nation built. You can't give up. You got to go ahead and stick with it. You can't run from it. You can't listen to these doubters and all that other stuff, man. You got to go ahead and push them to the side. Because
I know
some of these people to go ahead and make these comments that, you know, you can't do that and all this other stuff. And, you know, nationhood is a myth. You need you belong in America and all that other stuff. Man, you know, it's one of those things where if I had a quarter, if I had a nickel, dime, penny, I'd be rich. Nah, I don't want all that. Give me a stick every time I hit your ass. So I walk around with that stick and say, this is what I hit this fool with when we was talking that crazy bullshit.
Right.
And then I hit him with this stick and here's his lump, you know, because I don't need to hear that shit no more. Because a person like you is actually, for me, you working for those who hate us. You know, and you hate yourself. That's a whole lot of self-hatred when you go ahead and tell another black man that you can't go ahead and do this, that you can't separate from white folks. It's about time, well about time for us to go ahead and do that. Because ain't too much really to look forward here. You've already seen that, hey, you elected Barack Obama. He's got in office. I gave him 4 years before I said anything. And look at what is happening. He is not going ahead and put black issues on the table and dealt with the black issues. And the show I listened to last night, the sister was going ahead and saying, well, you know, and I hear this from other people, he's not the president of black people. He's the president of all people. Well, why is it that some of these all people, their interests are being addressed. Their issues are being addressed. But the things that's affecting black folks ain't being addressed. And Barack Obama walked the streets in Chicago. I don't care what nobody, don't tell me that shit. He's president of all black people. Man, that's when I need to break out with my stick and pop you in the head and wake your ass the fuck up. He walked these streets. In some of these areas with some of these kids, there's still bloodstains on the fucking street where he used to go ahead and do his community service, where he was his community organizer, when he was walking these streets, going ahead and doing stuff here. There's still bloodstains on them streets, literally. And you're going to tell me that he can't come and do something for this? Where he addressed gay issues, and he's constantly mentioning them. He addressed other groups. And, of course, he looked out for all these rich white folks on Wall Street. I was looking at that movie, Too Big to Fail, and I didn't catch the whole thing. I just couldn't go back and try to find the rest of it. I couldn't try to see it because one thing stood out to me. One thing, the biggest thing that stood out to me was the people who caused this economic crisis, all of them were white sitting at the table. All of them.
Right.
All of them was white. But you listen to these people, you listen to these people, especially the lunatic right-wingers, when they go ahead and they talk about, hey, look, you need to cut out these social programs and this and all that old stuff. You know, that's really amazing when you go ahead and look at, when you break down the numbers to when you're getting like the food stamps or whatever, medical cards or every, the little money, it don't come up to nowhere near the amount of money that's being wasted when you go ahead and you got the oil subsidies and the bailouts and all this stuff. It's not nowhere near equal. But they want to try to tell you that, hey, look, you know, the black folks are getting most of the food stamps and all this other stuff. They hurting the economy. But that's just not true when you put the numbers together. It's just not true. It don't add up. And then when I hear black folks go ahead and say some silliness about, oh, man, he's another black man that's calling himself a victim and, you know, trying to get entitlements. Dude, I ain't calling myself a victim. I'm saying I want you to get the fuck out of my way while I do something. And that's what nationhood, nation building is all about, building something for us. So we can do something for our people, because these people go here in their opposition to us. They don't see that there's a problem. They see that everything's fine. Everything's great. And just like we were talking earlier, it's not happening to them. So, you know, they don't see no problem. But my thing is this, from my experience, it's like they may not be going here. They may not be messing with you at that point. But you best believe if that what I'm saying is on these jobs, okay, and I'll stick with that for a minute. On the job, if you got a black manager, a white manager, a black supervisor, then the subordinates are all black. That white manager is telling that black supervisor, go mess with him, go deal with him. And what eventually happens is they either fire him or some of these cats quit. So what that black supervisor is not realizing that he's chopping down, you know, the stuff before they get to you. So once they go ahead and they finish off going ahead and getting rid of all the other blacks, you know, what you think's going to happen? They're going to come after you. And I've seen it every single time at the place I used to work. Managers will go ahead and push the black supervisor out there so they don't say it's discrimination. And once they start going ahead and getting rid of some of the black elements that they don't like, they start coming after that supervisor. I mean, a lot of us don't realize you doing this devil's work, but eventually they're gonna come after you.
Right.
So you need to go ahead and set up something where, hey, look, we need to set up something where we don't have to worry about getting pushed out. Okay. So we can go ahead and have our own stuff. So we're not even in their system. You got people that's right here in this country here. They got their own separate stuff. We can go name all the different groups. But when we talk about nationhood, nation building, most of them people got dual citizenship, or they go back and deal with their homeland. And the biggest group here is the Israelis, the Jews. They got dual citizenship where they can go ahead and vote in the election over there in Israel and vote in the elections over here in America. Wow.
Yeah.
We don't see this shit?
Yeah, we see it, but we don't have the power to do anything about it. At least that, you know, you can't stop somebody else. If we could just, you know, mimic the best parts of what they do, then, you know, that'd be better for us.
Mm-hmm. Let me let this brother in. Brother Supreme, how you doing? This is Chef Rob.
What's up, brother?
How you feeling, brother?
I'm feeling okay. Oh, this is nationhood, but or nationhood or nation building. What do you mean by that? Nation building, what do you mean by that, bro?
Building our own economic structure. I say building our own country, period. That's what I say.
Okay.
Having our own, where we run everything.
Mm.
Okay? There's ways we can do it. I mean, if you go ahead, like as much as people don't want to go ahead and look at it, we must study those who are in power and how they got to play, and especially the Jews. We must go ahead and study how they got to be. You know, they got their homeland based strictly on a lie. But the biggest thing that they did was they became an economic force. So them go ahead and be an economic force means they can go ahead and rewrite this, buy politics, and that's what they did with the United Nations. They bought off almost all those guys.
Of course.
So we
I
need
mean,
to go ahead and have our own stuff. That's what I mean by nationhood. Well, we got the black president. We got the everything is pretty much black owned. Black run. So you get what I'm saying now?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I agree with that. We need to do for ourselves. I think that starts because we haven't got no millionaires. All the millionaires are sold out, and our house niggas got their white woman living in Hollywood and Atlanta and Faglanta. These capitalist Negroes in Faglanta, they probably have enough money to do that, what you're saying. But, you know, they're not going to do it neither because they love the American so-called dream. So, I mean, yeah, I feel you would have to start off slowly. Let me tell you why the Amish don't get messed with, right? Because people love people, places, and things, and that's what Donna Corleone would say. But because people love items, they love the material world. No one don't really mess with the Amish. Amish don't watch no TV. Amish don't wear all the clothes that we wear. We don't look at them and envy them. But if we saw how much money they've got, yeah. And if we saw the economics and the fact that they're all healthy and they eat right and they're vegetables and, you know, they're doing for self, we would be jealous of them then. Do you see what I'm trying to say? If we lived that simple lifestyle, no one would fuck with us. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, see, we can't get that simple lifestyle because a lot of us seem to have gotten to this point.
Yeah, that's why the devil got jealous of you guys. When you had Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Yeah,
and,
Foxwood. Check this out. But what's going on here today, what's going on in here in America is that, well, I think it's going on in the UK too and across the planet, is that we're bombarded by fantasy and other bullshit. Reality shows and sports and all that. So that's what our mind is geared up to, that's all we can do and that's all we ever done. That's the highest we're going to get, and that's the only thing we can achieve in life, is we can go ahead and be entertainers for you and buy your products. You know, one thing about the Japanese, even though they had the U.S. help, you know, they were going ahead and playing that little game with America and Britain and the others. But when they got a radio, they broke it down, see how it worked. And the biggest thing was, hey, look, this, you are here to go ahead, you are Japanese, you're gonna have to stay Japanese. You can go study somewhere else, but you better not come back with no other type of woman. You better come back and marry you a Japanese woman. Look it up.
I mean, that's what most cultures are like, isn't it? Most cultures are tyrants with their women. We're not really, you know, we're not like that. That's why, you know, if you went out with an Asian woman, an Indian woman, a Muslim woman, them Arab women, their family will kick them out of the race straight.
Right,
so it's one
right.
of the two. Some of them have black have the urge to be with a black man, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they can't go there because they know the family will kick them out. All the family wealth won't go to them. The family will disown them straight away.
But see, you know, and this is what I'm telling you about the fantasy and the materialism and all that BS that we bombarded with, because we look at that and that's defining our beauty. Because you got a whole bunch of people out here, damn, they wouldn't listen to you. You go ahead and talk about nationhood and let's build something for ourselves. They're like, oh man, let me go ahead and whiten my skin up.
I think a lot of them out here, it's just
some self-hatred. They can't stand what they see in the mirror. Hate it.
It's the house niggas.
I think there's a difference too, man, between people who immigrate into the country and then people who are conquered by the country, because black people in America is in a unique position. We were just destroyed. We were brought in and just destroyed culturally and everything else. We were focused on survival just to get by type thing, where other people, they immigrate into America with opportunity. So they bring in their cultural values first, and they look at how can they use America to their financial benefit. We black folks never had that opportunity. We were just destroyed. So we have to start from one plus one. We have to crawl, walk, learn how to speak, learn how to invent the wheel. We so much stuff we just can't do. So it's hard for us to really compare to any other minority or any other group.
Yeah, true. And what that brother did say last night, one thing he said was, because the other brother was trying to tell him some stuff about people coming to America and just getting stuff. And that's not true. You know, you got some people that came from areas that may go here and get some stuff, okay? Like, you got people coming from Afghanistan that can come to America. People coming from Iraq can come to America. There's certain types that come here. The U.S. government will set them type of people up. You're coming from war-torn areas or places like that, especially the places where the U.S. is bombed. Yeah, they got stuff for you. But some other people, you ain't just coming in here and getting nothing. You can go ahead and come into this country and there's already people here. They seek out them groups from their home, and they help set them up. It's like when you said, you know, you got that Palestinian and that Israeli issue. The Palestinians, they ain't getting nothing from the U.S. government.
Okay.
Jews might, but the Palestinian ain't getting nothing. So that's one reason that they got their system here where they got a shop here, they do all of those ridiculous stuff to go ahead and bring somebody in, call them his brother, his sister, and bring them in. They work in a store, and eventually they set up another store.
But we got to understand as well, these countries and these immigrants that come in to even the UK and America, they have an army behind them. Like the Chinese have a big army bigger than America and the UK.
Right.
You know, so they can't, if they do mess with them, people, the Chinese will, if the Chinese knew that Americans and British are just killing their people, I guarantee they'll round up the people, the English people that are over there, and kill them. They will.
Let me show you something else, brother. Let me show you something else. Here, every city in the U.S. got an area they call Chinatown, right?
Exactly, and in UK as well. We got.
You
Chinatown.
Better not take your black so ass over there fucking up in Chinatown, because you best believe it ain't gonna be no Chinese cops coming to get you. It's gonna be maybe a black, white cop. They gonna come and fuck your ass up over there and tell you, boy, what you doing over here messing up? You ain't messing up with them, because I've been to meetings. It was something going on here. They were talking about closing the post office in Chinatown. So a lot of these groups got together and we was going
to
meet with.
They got gangs as well, brother. Remember?
Hold on. Let me tell you this. I was going to the meetings and when we got there, they was nice to us. They was cool with us. But the thing that I really really noticed was that. The Chinese, they all were going ahead and dealing within themselves. The police was coming out. They knew all the police by name. The cops, they used to ride around those areas. They knew the cops by name. And they was letting people know, we ain't going to tolerate no stuff. We're going to go ahead because the politicians from those areas, representing those areas, were not Chinese. They sent a representative there, and maybe that politician itself was there. And they come to ask them. What do you need? What can we help you with? We ain't getting that in black areas.
Let me tell you something. You're not even allowed to pull out a camera. If you go to China, you're not allowed to even pull out a camera and videotape the place. You will get arrested just to having a camera phone or a camera on the streets of China. You will get arrested quick, fast, and put in jail. It doesn't matter if you're from America, Britain. It don't matter. They have no remorse in that country.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, probably, because I don't think we addressed it. I don't give you that question. Do you think that we need our own black nation? Because you asked me what it was. Do you think we need our sole black nation?
Well, of course, brother. But the thing is, where are they going to give us, where are we going to get that from? I mean, you know, who's going to give us it, really?
Yeah, I don't think I ain't in asking no more, so we need to go ahead and
get
something else. I can't go ahead and take up arms against them, but I can't go ahead and deal with them as far as going ahead.
I say this, brother, it's best to build within. And then when you've got enough finances, collateral, you know, money and assets, maybe 20, 30 years, you can just go over to Africa and build something there, you know, a bigger...
So you think Do you think that these movements, you know, you've seen a few of them. You think these movements are fraud and comment, just like that guy was saying last night, because you were there too.
Oh yeah, of course they're fraud. Most of these businesses, most of these Pan-African stuff, UNIA, they're all fraud now. These ones now, they're all fraud. They're collecting money. You don't see where what they're doing with the money. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
It's all fraud.
More poverty pimps.
Of course, that's all it is. That's all they're doing. Because, like I said, I was doing part of an organization for 2 years. Pan-African, right? Marcus Garvey, they're claiming. UNIA. They're collecting money. They might get like 100 people. We would meet up every month, once a month, standardly. And like it would be maybe 50 to 100 people. Be the same old people for 2 years, I saw in every meeting. Now, you might get a new face. That new face will come and go. Now, I feel that what I realize is that a lot of the people in there are just black event junkies, just like most of the conscious community probably are in America. They're not actually doing nothing. They're just conscious, black conscious junkies. I mean, I'm sure that you see that in the United States. This is what they are. And they're just collecting up all the money. And I'm thinking, they're talking about the community, stop and search, right? But they're telling us, we're big people. Hardly any of us get stopped in the place, right? Because we all got jobs or we're doing something right with our life. We need to be telling the youth this. Not us sitting on the same old people all the time, getting told what to do if the police stop you, and trying to read up the law and say, well, they've got to have a reason to stop you. You see what I'm trying to say? Why aren't we telling the youth this? That's what I'm thinking. The youth, the boys who are, their trousers are halfway up their leg. You know.
Hey, you know, it's time, man. I got to play my, you know, hey, it's that great motivational speaker. We must always hear him. This guy drives me every day. I laugh my head off when I hear it. So here it is from Jesse Lee Peterson.
No, I've often said that thank God for slavery because, you know, had not, then the blacks who were here would have been stuck in Africa. And you see how bad Africa, everybody and mama trying to get out of Africa and come to America. And so God has a way of looking out for folks, and he made it possible by way of slavery to get black folks into this country. But 100% American. Proud of it. I thank God that he saw fit for me to get here. Never mind that, you know, we were sold. I mean, my ancestors way back, way yonder when, were sold by Arabs and blacks to white folks and got us here. The white man came and brought us to the greatest country in the world. The ride over was pretty tough. But, you know, it's like riding on a crowded airplane and when you're not in first class. It's a tough ride. But you're happy when you get to your destination. And so the ride was tough over here. The pain for freedom was tough, you know, because in life, if you want to gain something, you got to lose something. No pain, no gain. So it was a tough. The pain was tough, all for the sake of freedom. So I thank God that he got me here, and to show my appreciation to the blacks who suffered as a result of coming here, and the Arabs and blacks who sold us to the white man, and the white man for going there and getting us and bringing us here, I want to say thanks.
Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host here at Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, that,
come in a minute.
Yeah, that brother's out here in L.A., man. This has got to start. I remember years ago, these brothers tried to recruit me, man. I had went down to do something, man, and these brothers that came up to me and was like, oh, you're here we'd like to, you know, introduce you to Jesse Peterson and this other, and I was like, I know this guy, he's, you know, he's a clown. And then, you know, they quickly like, you know, just gave me a card and then walked away. But yeah, sometimes I used to run into those guys out here in LA.
I had another clip. It's a debate he was having, man, when he was on CNN. I'm gonna play that a little bit later. We can like take that into overtime a little bit. But these kinds of guys, man, are out here. You know, he's just the one that has a platform. Ain't no way he gonna go ahead and support Nationhood, Nation Building. He's the one. Just listen to that clip there, and the stuff that I want to play for about him in a minute. Oh man. He think this is the greatest. You know, he has no clue. No clue about history and what we have gone through. Even in his own family, I think somebody came out and said, "Hey, look, some of his family members have been lynched." I mean, I'm sorry, man, but no, I'm not sorry. Fuck it. If I found out that you specifically had something to do with murdering one of my family members, ain't no way I could go ahead and be buddy buddy with you, shake your hand, all that bullshit. Ain't no way. I ain't, don't tell me that forgive and forget shit. Because if you did it once for me, in my opinion, you can do that shit again. So why would I give your ass another motherfucking opportunity to do that? You get me?
Yeah, he's one of those brothers. Yeah, I got you, man. But he's one of those brothers that's paid by the racist establishment to be a voice, you know, against the black people. And you know he used to come on, and he was he has a very bad speech impediment, and
right.
the white man took him and paid for speech lessons and taught him, you know, certain religious thought, and then said that, you know, he was called by God to lead black people. So this white man paid his way for a long time and just took care of him, and he just became that spokesman for that white man. I can't think of that white man's name off the air, but I mean right now. But he used to have a religious show on out here in L.A. like every day.
Oh, he still got the show, man. I got some clips, but I can't go ahead and get him done right, man. So, but once I do that, man, I'm gonna do a whole show on him and some others that I got. Brother Pianchi, how you doing?
Cold here.
It's cold here. I'm in Chicago. What do you, hey, let me tell you what happened here. I'm going to share this with the family. Okay, like one of my cars, right? One of my cars, what happened was one of the tires was flat. So I took it to the gas station, go ahead and get some air in it, and not realizing that, hey, look, I'm going ahead and pushing the rest of it out, the rest of the air.
Was it flat or slashed?
Huh?
Was it flat or slashed? You know, you know how the women do when they get mad.
No, brother, it was going flat. I ain't had to worry about that, man. But check it out. By the time I got to the gas station, I turned it in to put some air on, and I got out the car. The rubber part came off the rim, and it flattened the rim. So since it's a special rim on that, you know, I went to try to find, you know, get that same rim. Not I forgot how much I had paid for it. I tried to go ahead and give another rim for the tire, and they told me, hey, look, that damn rims is $600 now. I'm like, man, you lost your mind. So I hate cold weather. That cold weather has something to do with my going ahead and flattening my tire. But, Brother Pianchi, I got to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Do you think this, you know, a lot of these movements now, you know, the Nationhood, Nation Building movements, are they full of cons, or is some of them that's out here true? And which ones would you go ahead and say, hey, look, we might go ahead and be able to listen to?
What kind of going to get land? You know, I think you've seen a lot of them fell off the side after you've seen the uprising that's been going on called Arab Springs and so on and so on and so on. These infiltration of Al-Qaeda operatives. So you have to ask yourself, if you used to go build a nation, how would you protect yourself from something like that when you got established countries that have standing armies, if not able to do it themselves?
You know, I'm looking at that Arab Spring, you know, and for me, I really feel that this was a whole, to me, it's a lot of outside influences for outside interests to go ahead and stir up the people.
Well, that could maybe be, but regardless, it did happen, though.
Yeah, I think what Priyanki's saying is very accurate, man. That if you look at right now, if black folks were trying to, say, get some land in Africa, which is kind of premature, but if that were to happen, Al-Qaeda is not a joke. And I don't think that we're in position right now to fend off Al-Qaeda's influence or, you know, not right now. Now how they do.
Hey, brother, look, for me, I think Al-Qaeda is CIA, and it started out CIA, and I think it's still got a whole lot of CIA influences. Let me get this other brother in. 757.
What's up,
brother
Rob? What's up, Chef Rob?
What you doing, man? Where you been, man? How'd they get you out that hole? How'd they get you out that hole, man? What happened to you?
I don't know, man. I'm taking a break for a minute from Blog Talk, man. So I see everybody. What I like about Blog Talk Radio is I can listen to shows now and people are making sense. So I don't feel like I have to do a show seven nights a week anymore.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take over. Well, what you think about this, man? Is nationhood, nation building, is it one big con game, one big fraud?
No, it's not. It's actually very, very real. It's actually something that's really going to happen because I'm privy to information that key people in the United States. The thing is, with nationhood, we don't need the masses. The masses do not have to be involved. You wait for the masses, it'll never happen. Key people have to put stuff together and make it happen, which is happening right now. The key people you never think of. See, the thing is, when people think about nationhood, they think of, like I said, the professor, Dr. Boomshakalaka on the street corner, you know, and the whole temper. Those aren't the people of nationhood. There are people behind the scenes who are highly, highly advanced in white society and travel throughout the world who basically believe in this concept. These are people who don't wear no red, black, and green. These are people who aren't putting their fists up. These are people who are educated, they're connected and everything, but they really do believe black people will have a chance in nationhood. And the people, they'll support Obama, they're mainstream and everything, but they're out there and they're doing those sort of things. Those are the sort of people you need. The if you look at the what's going on, there's a lot of fake people out there, and I ask them all the time, okay, you have an organization. What do you plan on doing? Well, we just have a meeting here, and we're talking about, they talk about everything but nation. I say, okay, if you talk about Marcus Garvey, how come we talk about everything but what Marcus Garvey said? How come no one ever pick up Marcus Garvey's book and say, let's try to implement it? We got the technology. We got the unification. We got black people in college. We got more educated black people. We got black people who have banks. We have black people with every single skill set. Why can't we do this? Why? Because we don't have the mindset. You need to tell me, listen to this very carefully. You need to tell me you got countries like South Sudan who 20 years ago, 99% of the people couldn't read or write, who these brothers came here and got some education in Jersey, North Jersey and everything, and these brothers didn't even wear clothes. 15 years later, one of my brothers, Jack O'War, he used to call him my radio show, he's in talking with people in Dubai. They're building pipelines and railways from South Sudan to the Kenyan port. These guys had nothing. They didn't know how to read and write. Now they're going back and they raise their flag over their own soil. You need to tell me with 42 million black people, the most educated black people in the world, a $1 trillion economy, we can't even think about doing the same thing? Come on. So the whole thing is this, it's about who's talking on nationhood. If you don't believe that it's possible, it's because you don't believe in your own people. That's all it is.
You know what, Brother Caleb? See, the thing is that we one thing, okay, is that media, okay? We don't have a media apparatus in place to go ahead and combat the BS. Then we don't have an education system to go ahead to educate our people.
Right.
You know, and I think those are, and then we don't have nothing to go ahead and fund it. So I think those areas are some of the biggest things that we really should go ahead and be looking at.
Now, my solution would be this. I know David Hitt has another program, but my solution would be to partner with particular African governments. If we had, like, our own at least settlements throughout the continent, which we had dual citizenship and we had our own farms, our own industries, our own industrial parks, our own power plants and all stuff like that. That would give us the sort of leverage we would have. Because I think right now, starting off, we should at least be on the continent for 20 years as a people before we think about an independent nation. That's my personal opinion. We already got black people, a large number of African Americans that live in Ghana right now, in South Africa. We got a large business community in South Africa, Tanzania, places like Mozambique. We got a lot of African Americans living in Malawi right now, Kenya, Uganda, and doing big things. Because in Africa, the things you can do in America, you know, open up a billion-dollar telecommunications company. You're never going to get that contract in America, you know, but you will get it in Africa. You talk to the African officials, and they tell you, okay, you want to open up a bank? Or you want to be the prime lender of the country? Things you can do on the continent you can't do here. And it happens all the time. People say they go to Africa, and you're the man. The person who says yes or no are black. When America, well, you everything you do is about white people have something to say to it. And now look what's happening. You got Nigerians passing us. We sat here in America all these years. Now the richest black woman in the world, not Oprah Winfrey, it's a Nigerian woman. And she's an oil industrialist. And lady, she's an oil industrialist. The richest black man is not Bob Johnson. It's Aliko Dangote, an industrialist.
Hold on. Okay. For me, I'm a big advocate for us going ahead and working on alternative fuels. So how well is our riches gonna go ahead and be if we can go ahead and start making a dent in it by going ahead and dealing with that ethanol and other fuel sources?
Well, my thing is, let me answer that question first. My thing is, we need all of it. You know, we need natural gas fuel. You know, we need clean coal. We need renewable energy. You know, that technology is not really developed yet. We need all these. We need a diversified energy portfolio. And all these things that we should be training our people over here to do so we can go and put our platform on. Like, let me give you an example. People talk about solar panel energy. Well, you know with the Republicans here, that's never going to happen. But you can have, if you had a business that builds solar farms and stuff like that, you can talk to an African government and basically sell gigawatts of solar energy, wind power, or natural gas if with the right contract, because there's nobody there saying no. See, the whole thing about America is, since day one, it's about who says no. The white man says no. Every time you look around, a black man has his dream crushed. Why? Because there's somebody white sitting there saying no. There should be, if we didn't have a racist country, there should be like 100 black billionaires in this country right now. But because white people say no, if you don't have the networks, if you're not in the inner circles and everything, it's almost impossible to get to that level. You can, but for every black man that's a millionaire, if he had his own nation, he'd be a billionaire. As simple as that, you know, it's just common sense. How many Japanese do you see coming here becoming billionaires? No, most Japanese who become rich in their own environment. Same thing with the Taiwanese, the Chinese, everything else. They may branch off into America once they have a solid foundation. You know, once they have their base of operation or their support system, which is their homeland, then they can come to other countries and come back. But if you don't have any base of operation to operate out, you're just cut off. That's the problem with black people in America. We're cut off from our homeland. And that's why it's important. Even if we don't go back, we need to establish ourselves on the continent. We need to start colonies and communities and enclaves throughout the continent. That's the only way it's going to happen. You know, we have to give our people an alternative, you know, to living in America and open the African market up and develop our independent trade. Can you imagine if we start buying these old steel mills in places like Gary, Indiana, and Africa produces most of the world's iron ore, we could dominate the world's steel industry. You know, it's all about this. But as long as we sit in America, as long as we sit in America like cowards and don't freaking take up this opportunity, we're never going to get any place. It's simple as that. So the bottom line is this. If somebody's a nationalist, if they don't have any power base in Africa, if they don't have an office set up on the continent, if they don't basically have somebody in the organization living on the continent, I'm not talking about sitting under a tree with a dashiki on. I'm talking about over there doing business, doing work like everybody else is doing over on the continent, making things happen, building schools, you know, and doing things. If you're not doing something on the continent, you're not doing anything, you know?
I get you. Hey, Brother Pianki, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I have to agree with Caleb. I've been listening for a long time. But you know one thing that you mentioned, and I had talked about this earlier and really got so, so excited about it and started seeing all these opportunities, and that is the CNG, or infamously known as compressed natural gas, utilizing it for to power vehicles. And I don't know why. Well, I know why, but I throw the question out there. You know, the United States is supposed to sit on the largest natural gas reserve in the world, supposedly. But I have driven those cars in L.A., and those automobiles operate very, very efficient. You can't tell the difference between them and a conventional powered car. And they're so cheap. That technology would be a wonderful thing over in an African country. Get rid of those present modes of transportation, those old cars, that's the pollution and the quality of the air is so bad because of the exhaust. And, you know, there's all sorts of resources of natural gas in you know, those African countries. So, hey, that there would work like a work very, very well.
Beautiful, brother. Brother Covino, man, you got something to add to that?
I like what the brother said. What I was saying last week, too, where I think that a lot of us have ideas that, you know, people need to work on. And it's like the brother's talking about, you know, building stuff in Africa and setting up, you know, industrial plants. For me, I have no clue about how to do that, right? So that's something I can listen to on the outside. I can encourage your brother and support, you know, whatever he does. But it's like I wouldn't know how to do that. So for me,
we have to get the brother. The whole thing about black people, we have to understand one thing. When you talk about nationhood, this is how nationhood is built. You know, you have your thinkers, you have your engineers, you have your leaders, you have your farmers, you have your rank and file laymen, workers. You have this, that is all part. You have your army. You have all these things. Not because whatever your expertise is, not everybody is going to do the same thing. The industrialists, the people who do that stuff like that, let them do that. Find out where you fit in and where your expertise is, and basically that's where you show and prove. You know, we can't all be doing all the same thing. You know, that's what jealousy and envy and all this stuff. Nationhood means everyone understands that they're part of a whole. All pieces are part of a whole. You know, so the people we have people that's in the chemical engineering and all this stuff like that, science and all the stuff like that. Let the scientists do the science. You know, let the farmers do the farming. Let the fishermen do the fishing. You know, that's what a nation is. Right now, we are in a mentality, we're like slaves. We do what the white man says to do. You know, so no matter whether you have the capability to be a scientist, if the white man needs you to clean floors, that's what you're going to do. You know, so that's what being free is all about. We understand that we're all part of the same struggle. So the bottom line is this, the scientist is just as important as the janitor is. You know, so that's what nationhood is all about. You know, and a lot of people talk nationhood, but go to their meetings, and everybody there is blue collar. They don't know how to bring in the educators. Marcus Garvey was great because he was able to get educated black people who were professors, scientists, say, yeah, I can see myself in my own state. Man, I would rise to the top, you know.
Everybody. Check it out, Kayla. Hold on. I think one of the things that Marcus Garvey had on his side was that the graphic images of murder. Okay? I think that's one of the biggest things he had on his side was the lynchings, the amount of lynchings that was going on. And that was, I mean, they saw a sense of urgency. This is one reason I tell people I really wish at this point, so we can go ahead and do something and stick together and see that and know that we need to do something together, is Romney should have won the election. Because with the policies that he wanted to put in place,
it would have catapulted. But get this, though. Imagine, this is what I say. Right? Now, you and I both have been silent about Obama for 4 years. You know, we both, I like Obama, we have nothing like that, but you and I both know nothing's going to change even in 8 years. You know, because we know the system. The system Trump is not, again, you can put all black people in the Senate, and it still won't make a big difference. It's because of the way the nation was conceived and founded. You know, so the bottom line is black people are always going to be underclass. And the more they keep bringing in Mexicans and all these other people, black people could have easily become our own part of the ownership class if we didn't have these immigrants that came in here. They deliberately brought all these other people in here and set them up in a black community with loans and everything to make sure there'll never be a black capitalist or a black entrepreneur class. They know what they're doing.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, but it was black leaders that permitted. Wait a minute. They didn't permit. They offered.
Yeah, well,
1964,
like I said, there's no such thing as a black leader.
Well,
you know,
the last
leader we had was Marcus.
It was a black spokesperson, should I say, then. The Vanguard organization. The 1964 Civil Rights Act gave blacks a certain special privileged status that was particular to them until the spokespersons opened it up to everybody.
Yeah, no, with minorities, disadvantaged. They said anything but black people. I didn't know minorities were lynched, killed, and sold and shackled together and dehumanized. I didn't know that. All these people came over here voluntarily. You know, so how can they be in the same category as us? It's a lot. How did gays become the same category as black people? It's like I said, they're making a mockery of us. That's why I said nationhood, if black men in America would stop being scared and stop being cowards, and say, yes, let's talk about nationhood. Let's talk about the eventual exodus of black people. Let's put that as a rallying cry. Then they would wake up and say, wait a minute, these people are for real. As long as they got us tucked away and you grumbling in the ghetto and grumbling on Blog Talk and everything, they don't care nothing about that. They don't care about people talking about they'll go crazy. Hotep, white cracker, devil. They don't care nothing about you calling them devil or not. They only know one thing. They're the ones with the money and the guns and the power, you know. And at any time you get out of line, they will crush you, and they'll send your black president to do it, you know. As simple as that. So the only
Hey, let me play this real quick. I want y'all to listen.
Why so many are youth recycling in and out of prisons? And I thought that racial past was part of our nation's history, not our present. Well, here are a few of the facts that I uncovered in the course of my research that were part of my awakening. More African Americans are under correctional control today in prison or jail, on probation or parole, than were enslaved in 1850, a decade before the Civil War began. In 2004, more black men were disenfranchised than in 1870, the year the 15th Amendment was ratified, prohibiting laws that explicitly deny the right to vote on the basis of race. Of course, during the Jim Crow era, literacy tests and poll taxes kept black folks from the polls. Today, felon disenfranchisement laws do the job even better. A black child born today has less of a chance of being raised by both parents than a black child born. In large part to the mass incarceration of black men. Now, an article was just published in The Economist magazine, the leading magazine for economists in the United States and around the world, entitled How the Mass Incarceration of Black Men Harms Black Women. The article explained that the majority of black women in the U.S. are unmarried, including 70% of professional black women, largely due to
Welcome back to the show.
I have mixed feelings about that clip. You know, one is this: we focus too much on this is my opinion. We focus too much on the people. Okay, that's in jail. We understand the problem, unemployment. We all know the problems, but no one gives a damn about the black men who say, "Look, I have an idea. I have an invention. I can do something. I can employ people." Right? No one ever talks about that. What about all the black men who have ideas and everything? The same people who have so much concern about the black men locked up, no one will even talk to the black men who are doing things, who are creating something, who are building something. You know, America is never going to change. What part of that that people don't ever understand? You know, I mean, we wasted the whole 20th century complaining about racism. The whole 20th century gone, and other people basically started the 20th century off living in the jungle. Now they're building skyscrapers throughout Asia in other parts of the world, you know? And look what we're doing. We're still sitting here talking about, oh, mass incarceration. Well, what are we going to do about it, you know? And those of us who talk about nation building, they think we're
crazy.
Hold
on, Taylor, hold on. Hold on, let me share something with you. These are my thoughts. I mean, like, I think we need to go ahead and deal with that. Because it's a you know, how did they wind up in jail? Okay, so, you know,
lack of opportunity. The bottom line is, if we're not the ones creating opportunity.
Hold on, Kayla, on a minute. Let me finish. Hold on. How did they wind up in jail? Okay, so, you know, we got to look at the Justice Department and how it's not just. But the thing that's really should stand out to you more than anything is that it's big business to put brothers in jail. And it's a lot of people getting rich off throwing brothers and sisters in jail. And these are the same ones who have influence over the politicians, and the politicians, they go hand in hand. They get money off.
The thing is like this. This is how I see it personally. I know for a fact, when I was in my late teens and early 20s, I had a friend of mine I bumped into a couple of years ago. Now we talk on Facebook. But him and I went on down two different roads, right? He went one way, I went the other. I stayed with, you know, I became conscious. I started listening to Nation of Islam, God, and stuff like that. He went into the street, you know. Now we talk, but we're both men in our 40s now. We talk now his life and look right now. We came over a conversation. We're so different. You know, he's been through jail. And all kinds of everything like that and everything. His life, even though we both came up the same way, both came from a working middle-class neighborhood, same neighborhood, school, everything like that, played high school sports, everything like that. But he went one way, I went the other. I made a choice, you know? Now, I'm saying like this. I know for a fact, you know, when I'm driving down the road, when I go out to a club or something like that, I know these cops are looking for me to put me in jail. I have no criminal records, no DUI, nothing like that. Because I know that, why am I going to freaking go out there and do something when I know they're going to look to put me to the rule of my life? You know, I'm the type of person, I don't want nobody pitying me. I don't care, but I stand up for myself. You know, I'm strong, I stand up for myself. I know for a fact that they don't like me. They're going to put me in jail. They're out to get me and whatnot. So why would I give them a chance? If there's too many black men out there who think like I do, who are strong, who are making and everything like that, who are strong, to make it seem like we're all just weak, visible, and everybody's our fate is in somebody else's hand. No, our fate is in our own hands. You know, if we choose to basically let the white man employ us, you know, wonder why we don't get promotions and everything, if we don't want to start our own businesses, support our own businesses and everything, it's fault of that. You know, same thing. You know, you can have a choice.
See, Kayla, a lot of us don't have that choice. Okay, some of us are also truly victims of that environment.
Yeah, I know that.
I was listening to a sister go ahead and come to one of a meeting I was at a couple of weeks ago who was talking about the young people being searched on the bus stop. You know, these are kids in 6th and 7th grade.
Yeah, bro, I agree 100%.
Wait a minute,
Caleb. What you're saying.
Your situation is some different. Mine's everybody's situation, but we still got that out there. We can't overlook that.
We have to, brother. That is absolutely 100% true. It is out there, and we have to make people aware of it. You know, but the whole thing is that we're not gonna roll over and just say it's hopeless and just let it happen to us.
I was saying. I ain't saying it's hopeless. The reason I played that clip is to go ahead and support the idea of nationhood, nation building, where we need our own, that we need. It's just another thing, on this scale here, another thing to go ahead and weigh it down that we need to get our own stuff. That's the reason I played that, because that's just another area.
Right. I agree with that. That I agree with. You know, we need to have our own. You know, the bottom line is this. Every time we look and we see all these statistics, black people do this, black people doing that. Okay, now, to me, it's like this. This what's happening right now is black America is breaking up, you know. You have black people saying, okay, we understand the situations like it is and everything like that, but since it seems hopeless and I can't do nothing about it, I'm just going to go ahead and get my degree, move out to the suburbs, whatever like that, and just forget about the whole thing. And that's what's happening. We have a broken community, but our community 50 years ago was a little more united. Everybody was in the struggle together, you know, and so therefore the person that's in the suburbs, the black person in the suburbs, is going through the same racist stuff. He's getting pulled over, harassed, everything like that. Same thing as the inner city. You know, same thing like that. But the bottom line is this, she ain't committing crime. She ain't doing none of that stuff like that. So he's saying, I can't get to the next level. Why? Because unlike other people, if I'm going to open a business and everything like that, other racial people got a support system. We don't have a support system because we have too many people who are basically going the other way. We have too many women who think Section 8 is their husband. You know, we got too many people that's relying on the system and everything like that. Me, I could give a rat's ass about what this government does. And I'm not affected by anything, who gets elected, whatever like that, because I know how to make. I'm making my own money and I take care of myself. You know, we have way too many people depending on the system. And you ask yourself a question: what happens if the federal government shuts down? Or white people decide they're going to move to Mars and say, "Forget black people. Y'all, what will we do?"
Hold on. That's why I said, we're going to move on from this real quick. But that's why I said I think that Mitt Romney should have won. Okay. Hey, brother, convener man.
Yeah, I was here.
What did you think about that clip you just heard? Because we just heard Kayla and his thoughts. What did you think?
In a ways, I kind of agree with what Kayla was saying. I see the statistics, and it shows that this is the effects of the system of racism. But it's about time we get in the mindset of how do we respond to it. So that's where I'm at. I'm more about right now trying to figure out how do I not be a statistic, and how do I show other people how not to be a statistic. And, you know, I want to get in where I fit in with what I'm doing and help other people, you know, do the same thing. Because like Kelly said, I'm one of them brothers that educated and went out to the suburbs and, while I'm trying to stack my chips and get everything in order and ready to move on from that. So I'm in a between position where, you know, I'm looking for what to do next. Now that, you know, the suburb, it wasn't the answer. Not that I was looking for it to be answer, but like now it's time for us brothers to do something. I'm 100% with it. If we do something, but we got to know where to get in for, you know, each one of us.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Brother Bianchi, you there?
Yeah.
What do you think about that clip?
Well, that information is very heart-setting. It just goes to prove how black males are continuing to be used as a commodity from preschool all the way up to the point where they drop out and then get involved in illicit activities and find themselves in these prisons. And black society as a whole has a lot of responsibility because of that. As I've said before, if you don't leave anything for your children to get involved in, somebody else has plans for them themselves. And that's what she was harping on, the disfranchisement and so on and so on and so on. One thing that blacks still have yet, and that's these markets. They have these huge markets where they reside in Jackson, Mississippi, and Jackson, Florida, I think it is, Mississippi itself, Louisiana. Those are markets that we should be exploiting ourselves. And that is a saving grace. It's a complicated market, but it can be done.
But Bianchi, I went down to Mississippi and, seeing how my relatives is living, you know, my brother owns some land down there. But I see a lot of things like those lands or those areas are almost like black people or black women's hair care business, where we have a natural built-in a business, but somehow it's ran by another group of people. So if you go out of Mississippi and you see these places where, you know, brothers are living in large numbers, and there's a couple of shops here and there, most of those little shops and businesses are just owned by white folks. You mm-hmm. see a little person, it's like they have their main job. It's like, oh, they work at a fast food restaurant. And that's like the big deal. This person is like has a big job. I don't know, man. Those people don't seem to look like like they're in the area to, or in the mindset to take anything over right now. It's like they're happy with somebody else running their city.
Yeah. Let me say this, right? I'm gonna take
no sense of urgency.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I'm gonna tell you my father. Let me give him a false small town, Elizabeth City, North Carolina, where he came from, right? And you can study this all throughout the South, all throughout the North, pretty much the South, you know, because the North, Black people, we settled in urban areas. We were pretty much developed pretty much even back in the 1920s and stuff like that. But let's take the South. Okay, a place like Elizabeth City, North Carolina, and areas where Black people live. You can go to any part of the South, and you understand, with the exception of Miami. You can go and say, how the heck did we, Atlanta, for example, you had Black enclaves that were there since the end of the Civil War, okay? Now, most of those Black enclaves, large areas, were undeveloped, right? White people made sure the rare, if you had, like, the area we try to brag about, Black Wall Street. Black Wall Street didn't have his own post office depot, you know? So you had to go into the white part. Now, that's what started the whole riot there, because Blacks, what the tension was, where Black people needed vital services in Greenwood and Tulsa, they had to go to the white area for the post office and the rail lines and everything like that, the rail station, everything. That was in the hands of the white. The infrastructure was in the hands of the white. If you had the electricity, anything you want, the utilities and everything was in the hands of the white. So we never really had an infrastructure in America. Even though we had Black townships, we like to brag about and stuff like that, this is how it really happened. White people would say, okay, we have this area called Elizabeth City. Black people live in their own areas and everything, in the country or in some suburban, little semi-urbanized area that was really run down shack and fill, right? No running water, no anything, just oblivious out. Black people in the 1940s and everything, the South said, okay, we're going to give y'all electricity, running water, and everything like that. And also we're going to pave the roads. But what happened was, instead of the Black people taking their areas and getting their own charter by which we could bring in our own power company or have our own power company, which we basically could have raised with our own bonds and everything like that, which would have created a whole Black millionaires class. That's what cities are made out of, or cities are founded on, that first initial bond. Who the initial bondholders, you know, that basically subsidizes the municipality. Okay, Black people in the little city, they got roads and everything like that, and they got telephone poles linking their areas up with the main area, which was the white area. Black people got a road, they got hooked onto the sewer line, they got hooked on all that stuff like that. So effectively what you had was a colonization of Black people inside of America. So I don't buy this idea that, oh, yeah, we have these Black areas. Every last single Black area in this country is indirectly controlled by white. There's no independent Black communities in America. There's no Black area where the Black people control the water system, the sewer system. All those things are in white hands or white trusteeship hands in every last single city. So all we do is come in, and we may have a little bit of numbers, and we basically are able to vote a mayor in or city council in. But the bottom line is this. White people even become the minority, like they say, North Virginia. But in North Virginia, white people control all the wealth. You know, all the real estate, everything like that, the buildings, everything like that you see, is in the hands of the white companies and white corporations. You know, Hampton, Virginia. Oh, HU, Hampton. Less than 1% of city contracts go to Black people. Why? Because even though it may look like a Black city, the city is nothing but a glorified plantation. That's everywhere, even Atlanta, you know. So, like I said, I'm for what's real, you know. The only way Black people were ever going to get something is if we had our own independent state somewhere on this earth. That would basically give Black people the mechanism to generate global wealth and the global money supply, because we're a trillion-dollar economy. But as long as our bodies and our ecosystem stays within in the confines of America, we're just talking mess. Because white people control everything. That's why they don't care nothing about you rising up and everything. They know the bottom line is when you turn on your computer, when you turn on your water, everything fuels this is part of their system. You don't produce your own water. You don't produce your own electricity. All the staples of modern civilization, we have no control over. Other people around the world are building their own infrastructure. You know, that's what Brother Holt and I talk about all the time. Everything we get, everything from the ports, everything like that, the shipping terminal, the rail line, the shipping trucking yard that bring your produce into your area, that's all controlled by somebody, you know, and it's not us. All they do is give us a few jobs. Now they're bringing Mexicans in to take what little they left for us. The promise was they give us a few jobs, and they created a little bit of black middle class over the last few decades. Now that's going to be gone because they can bring Mexicans and other people in to do those work, you know. So that's the motivation.
No, absolutely, man. I agree 100%, man. When I used to do that Black Brotherhood self-determination show, that I used to always mention that, you know, we don't control our own water or electricity, or, you know, you name it. So I think that's if we're going to do anything, like if we're going to move in that direction, we have to be able to try to do it here. Like if there's a way we can get our mindset together
It's not going to happen here. What we have to do is basically partner with a particular African country, you know, where we could develop those things and colonize from within. Then we control everything. We could bring we have the potential to take one African country and bring that to the level of the United States easily.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so partnering with this nation. Okay, so you know, I want you to hear me out first. Okay, so I wouldn't want to go ahead and see it turn into a civil war or some kind of war from within, because we went over there, we kind of guessed, and we're trying to get our own stuff, and we would like for them to go ahead and support us. So, but as things go on, and you know, these other, you know, Liberia, Ghana, you know, Botswana, they got their own way of doing things. So after we go ahead, let me finish.
Right.
So after we go ahead and say, okay, we're here, we want to break up, but in the meantime, while we're here, we want to go ahead and see these things implemented. You can't come into somebody's house and tell them, hey, look, this is how I want shit done.
Oh yeah, I know that. Like I said, the whole part about this is this. This is what's going to happen. This is what's going to have to happen. The whole world has to have responsibility for what happened with the transatlantic slave trade. That includes Africa, too. You know, we, Black people in America, have let Africa off the hook. You know, and the bottom line is this. We have to basically be serious about nationhood. And we're going
to... So what do you tell
Ghana.
People? Caleb, what do you tell people when they tell you, hey, look, that happened so long ago. Forgive
them.
Okay,
it's like this. Then ask yourself this question. Why is it that Africans could come over to this country and get affirmative action, all these things, benefits? The only reason why Africans are in this country is because we fought in the civil rights movement to give everybody an equal chance. Everyone's here because of us.
Wait. I know this from experience. It's a whole lot of brothers and sisters. They waiting in line for 6-7 months, couple of years trying to get here, and they ain't getting here. But Europeans can come here, no problem. So they ain't getting a whole lot of, because a lot of them ain't coming over here.
It's like this. We have only, there's a lot of Africans, almost 10 million Africans from that continent over in the United States right now.
When you go ahead and you look at, I was working with hanging out with a brother who works for a group called Refugee One. And also, they kind of partnered with this other supposedly Pan-African group. All the leadership is all white. So he was breaking some stuff down to me. He said for every three visas they give from people coming from Africa, they have about maybe 20. They're coming from Asia. This is just their group. About 20-some coming from Asia and maybe 30 or 40 coming from Europe per month.
Right. I understand that. But my point is this. Sole point is this. We have large numbers of African-Americans that live in South Africa right now. Ghana, and other parts of the continent that are contributing, you know, that are contributing to the development. Africa now has the African Growth and Opportunities Act, which was passed by African Americans with the help of African Americans lobbying Congress and President Bush and Clinton. That means African goods can flow into the United States with no taxes. That's boosting a lot of African economies, you know. We have the Leon Sullivan Foundation. We have a major American companies and global international companies who are basically bringing in wages and doing a lot of humanitarian type work in Africa because of African Americans. So bottom line is this. What we're saying is this. We have to stop the myth. There's a myth going on that says once you're in America, because you have water, sewage, and everything, you're fine. And that's the way the world sees it. And they don't understand something. If you have people all over the world who are moving, you have people moving to Dubai, you have people, Chinese, who are now moving to the continent of Africa, you have Chinese moving to Canada. The world is going through a population shift with people moving around the world seeking opportunity, and it's happening all over still. Why is it that the one group of people, why is it that when people come to America, suddenly people think that this is it? This is what I'm saying. If you don't make an effort to basically leave or colonize someplace else, then no one's going to take you seriously about your claim to be oppressed, you know? And the bottom line, people always say to me all the time, I said, they say, well, geez. And I have my African brothers, they get on me all the time. They're like, yo, look, there's so much opportunity over here and everything. How come black people in America aren't coming here, taking the opportunity when the Lebanese and everybody else is? And then, well, black people in America sit in America, talk about one in four, this, that, and the other thing. Well, I have sisters in my network. There's one sister from Texas. She's an agricultural scientist. She's going to Nigeria right now to build commercial farms in Nigeria, you know, and she's bringing people over there from Texas to help out with farming, everything from cattle raising to everything, you know, growing everything. And so these are the sort of things that have happened. We have people doing it, you know, and so the bottom line, when Africans see this, they're like, oh, these people are serious, you know, because you have white people who come from right now, the Angolan government is, I'll give you an example. Portugal has just settled 100,000 Portuguese in Angola and in Mozambique. Portuguese coming from developed Portugal is going to Angola and Mozambique, and they're building new settlements, enclaves, cities, and some of everything. You just see the way Angola looks right now.
That was one. Look, I think you have to go ahead and look at that country's constitution policy, because I think that was a colony of theirs at one time.
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying?
That may not
come off the books that they can just go ahead and let the Portuguese come on.
Well,
here.
No. The bottom line is this. Somebody proposed it. Why? Because there was a strong desire among the Portuguese to say, hey, yo, look, you know, we have a lot of technical people, expertise, and everything. Our economy is slumped and everything. Angola even loaned its former colonial master $32 billion last year. They loaned Portugal money. So the world is changing. The world is changing, and you have Portuguese who are going to Angola living good. I'm saying, myself, how is it that that's supposed to be our ancestral homeland, and you have Portuguese who never
been to
Africa, and we're sitting here in America
Angola,
talking about complaining.
Angola have a very strong caste system that's going on there. But, you know, you mentioned about the African Growth and Opportunity Act. I'm still saying that black Americans can manufacture and produce in Africa and use that trade agreement to get those goods back into this country and tap into these enclaves that they have. I mean, just look at your public schools.
Boy, just I would even go even further. Don't even think about this. Just go and just bring this up. Get as much of this $14 trillion economy as possible. The main thing is get the cash flow into our hands. We don't care who we want to sell to. You know, it's like just get here. That's another thing you make a mistake. You got to go to the limited, the black community. Go anywhere and sell. You know, right? That's what you got to do.
Let's break this down in the simplest form possible that we can understand now. Yeah, the poorer the people are living in the country, right? Like you got your China. And all these, and Africa, the poorer the people are living in the country, the easier they are to control. That's why they've got so many house niggers who, all over Africa, every country in Africa is run by some sort of house nigger, black devil house nigger who's just stealing all the natural resources and putting it in their Swiss bank accounts and offshore bank accounts in the Caribbean. You see, no country in Africa, no black, so-called black country is owned by a black person. They're all bought and paid for by the devil, so they can go in there and get easy access.
Well, that's a little simplistic, because right now you have China is now the biggest trading partner with Africa. So Chinese, we can't be going by like we said 50 years ago.
Yeah, the reason why China,
Chinese are taking over the continent, and also Chinese is doing a lot of development. You see the new port they're building in Lamu and stuff like that. You see like that. You see also like that. We can't keep using. I mean, we know Africa
but they're
is
not
underdeveloped.
Yeah, but China ain't helping niggas. China makes some of the most they manufacture the shittest goods on this planet. You know, they will get an iPhone and make a little knockoff. They will make their own iPhone. They'll make modification to the iPhone and sell it for like $20, £20. You know, they make the shittest goods. Their goods are the most. What can I say? They will fall apart in a day. They don't make proper stuff out there, man.
Oh, yeah, we know that.
They ain't got no good quality. The quality of
their... Like well,
yeah, but
like
China, you got... China would give you farm implementations if you grow crops for them. They would set you up. They even offer black American farmers that same option. China is needing food. They need an energy.
But we simply don't have a lot of people organized to do this. We have way too many lazy people making too much noise. We need the people that, like I said, there's people out there that's doing this stuff. You know, there's people out there, African Americans who are now in Nigeria and Ghana who got large scale commercial operations and everything. And those are the people we need to start shining light on and support and show people, yeah, it can be done. And we got African Americans in South Africa who are doing things. We have to change things because the bottom line, ain't nobody going to change nothing but us.
Hold on, man. Hold on, brothers. We got a new caller. 804-798. Your line is open. State your name. Where you calling from?
Hi, my name is Hugh. I'm calling from Virginia.
Okay, Hugh, you got a question or a comment?
I have a comment. I agree with what you're saying, and I also am working on bringing a whole new paradigm into mankind, bringing spirituality into global economics and combining it with unconditional love, making everything transparent, ethical, legal, moral, and forcing companies to be more responsible for their employees, their customers, the environment, and the community. If they can't do that as people wake up, they're not going to be around long in the future. And companies, not only will they have to supply an excellent product and service, they're going to have to keep their customers and their employees happy by providing education, opportunities, and incentives on an ongoing basis.
Okay. So where would you start with all that?
I am an affiliate of an organization, and I wanted to have Chef Rob come back to me because I'm just starting to roll this out. It's a passive income strategy initially geared toward restaurants with no limit on the income potential. My last name has global recognition in the food service field.
What's your last name?
Trawlson, T-R-A-U-L-S-E-N. Have you ever heard of Trawlson Refrigerators? It's currently owned by Hobart.
Yeah, Hobart, I know. Say that again. Charleston?
Yeah, T-R-A-U-L-S-E-N.
You might want to consider investing in Liberia. You know, we have connections. Well, I have connections over there. You know, really good country.
The first poorest country in the world. It would be good, but there's a lot to do over there. There's a lot of work.
Liberia's about to change. Yeah, a lot of people, you have said something. With the stuff you're saying, you know, When you basically create the economic infrastructure, with Liberia has plenty of natural resources, which we're going to harness their resources for their development. That's what we're doing at the Rosenthal Group. And they're going to have all these things. You know, with vertical integration, they're going to have all these things, toilets and all the stuff like education, running water and stuff like that. We're going to build infrastructure in Liberia. We're going to make sure that's going to be our model country. You know, for
what we're talking about. You need to clean up those beaches because people are shit. Are defecating on the beach.
That's not true. That was a year. So now the beaches with the Maritime Authority and everything, Liberia's beaches are very, very clean right now. They're very, very clean. That's not okay. the YouTube videos from 4 years ago. The country is completely different now.
Okay, I'm more of what's his name? Morovia, whatever you call it. That one that they named off.
Monrovia.
Monrovia. That's a bit better now.
Yeah, every country, the country looks like crap, but the bottom line is the country, whatever it is, when you have a state, you have something. You know, you can take a state, it could be a piece of crap, but at least you have something to build with.
No,
you know,
it's true.
Black people in America, those of us who live in the white man's country, we got nothing, you know. You know, whatever position we can call ourselves, they're in a better position than we are. We are sitting in the white man's
that's
country.
True.
We're never going to get anywhere in the white man's country, but they have at least chance. Success or fail, they got a chance, you know, that we can't have. Our destiny is set up by limits for other people.
I agree.
You know?
I agree with you, bro. I can't argue with that. I don't see the point of building behind enemy lines.
Right.
We agree on that.
That's what Minister Farrakhan thinks he's going to do, build behind enemy lines. No, so.
Well, we know that ain't going too well here. You know, we're not going to take this in overtime here, brothers. Hey, we got 6 minutes. Let's go down the line. What was your name here? 804. What was your name again?
It's Hugh, H-U-G-H, Trawlson, T like Tom, R-A-U-L. S-E-N like Nancy, and look for a WordPress site. Have you gentlemen ever heard of a company called Talk Fusion?
Okay, we'll come
back
to that. I want to get advice.
What's the name of the company?
It's called
Hold on a minute. I want to get everybody's thoughts on the topic tonight. I'll call you. I'll get in touch with you, Hugh. Hey, Brother Piazza, you start out first. You got anything to say about this nationhood and building? Is it a card game or whatever?
Well, no, it's not a con game because it's going on all the time. You know, there's one young brother just got out of prison. He wrote a book called Prisons to Presidents. Right out of prison, got involved with international business, and he's now living in Zimbabwe doing business. So these things, you got some brothers that's doing copper mining in Zambia. And I'm talking about young black males. So there's a lot of things going on. I'm looking for excavators. I'm in search of some excavators before mining operations that's going on in the northern region, in the Ashanti regions of Ghana. So there's a lot of things that's going on that we don't even know about, and they're going to continue to go on. Either you join or you're going to get left behind, and that's just about the way it is.
All right, Brother Kavita Man, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, brother.
What'd you think about what was going on? Or go on ahead. It's a big fraud card game.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of information on here tonight, man. That could whet brothers' appetite. When people see those frauds out there, I think that becomes obvious, and then it might give the idea kind of a black eye. But I mean, hopefully people can learn to distinguish between. Between the frauds and the real thing, because it's going to be some of both out here. But I just encourage people to just stay with it.
Thank you, brother. Hey, Brother Caleb.
Yeah, I wanted to say so it's not as real as happening. And I want to give it another thing is the Rosenthal Group and the Comedic Pipeline will be going to Africa soon. The Rosenthal Group is headed to Liberia next month. Already in Ghana. They're going to Liberia next month, and we're going to set up the African Bullion Bank. And also we're going to be mining gold and turning gold into bullion like South Africa did years ago, and we're going to be putting them in the Liberian Central Bank, and we're going to finance the industrial development of Liberia. We're going to have oil refinery. We're going to have rubber farms to make process manufacture goods from condoms and tires to sneakers, everything you can imagine. So this is happening, this is really happening, and so therefore yes, nationhood and nation building. We have to build something, Like I said, nationhood is not going to happen overnight, but we have to get in where we fit in. Like Pianki said, a brother went to Zimbabwe. We have brothers that are in Ghana and parts of Africa doing gold mining and some everything from the United States, So these people are pioneers and making the small step for us all. So we can't just sit here And like I said, if you don't get involved, you're going to be left behind. You know, because when Africa looks up, when another 10 years, when Africa is booming like Dubai, you're going to sit in America saying, gee, what happened? You know? And so
we just want to give you
for warning.
We're going to work that out. We're going to work that out. Brother Supreme.
Yeah.
Is that nationhood, nation building thing, is it a myth, fantasy, or a bunch of con men?
I'm going to say something to the Africa being a power. The only reason why, right, is because the Chinese citizen, right, doesn't like how he's being treated. He realizes that when the things that they're creating, that they're making in the factories are going over to Europe, how much money they charge for it. So they're starting to get wise. That's why these guys, there was a walkout in Apple a few months ago, maybe 3-4 months ago. So those devilish Chinese government, they realize that, you know, the exports are, they're going to have to move the rich, the elite Chinese have realized they're going to have to push their businesses outside of China and all those industries. So they're going to, give it to Africa. But Africa, I don't know if Africa are going to have that control over it. They're going to be, I feel that if the Chinese, when the Chinese move the businesses to Africa, right, and remember, you got to understand, most of those businesses the factories in China that you see the Chinese working 50p an hour and all those prices there, right, they're owned by Europeans, devils in the United States owns those businesses. You see what I'm trying to say? They use the Orientals for cheap labor. So, you know, and those people are already starting to get upset. So, they're going to move the businesses to Africa. But I don't know if their living conditions is going to change in Africa. That's debatable.
Okay,
the Africans out there, they ain't got their heads together.
Okay, brother. Hey, well, that's my show. I'm glad everybody showed up, came out. Hey, Hugh, I'll give you a call. I got your number.
I put that link to that young black male who's doing business in Zimbabwe. Prisons to President. And you know what radio station I heard that on? Heard him being interviewed on? Armstrong Williams.
Oh, who?
Armstrong Williams. The one that your black liberals constantly wants to destroy. He has enough courage and guts to have entrepreneurs, business people to come on and interview him, that's doing some outlandish things, some outstanding things, should I say. And that's why I heard about this particular book. And he's not the only one. There's another book that was out called The Anatomy of a Hustle. Cable comes to South Central L.A. That's a good book, too, that people should read. And you can identify those Uncle Toms that Power Supreme like to talk about all the time, how they prevented some young brothers having a foothold in the cable industry in Los Angeles. They had $50 million in cash money to get involved, but the politics to be with Bradley, a judge, you know, they just did not let that happen. Stopping blacks.
I'm gonna go ahead and look that. I'm gonna try to see about looking into that, and I'm gonna try to go ahead and come back to that. All right, brother, that's my show. I'm glad everybody showed up. Be here tomorrow night, 8:30 Central Standard Time. I got a surprise for you, I hope. All right. Thanks for showing up. Good night.